movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colours, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week. But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, great, stupidity.
Yes.
I'll do you for that.
Yes, I'm
what?
Now.
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Some good rock and roll to me.
Good rock and roll to me. Good rock and roll.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah. I made it.
We got something new from Ola. We got a hell of an echo going. But I can't talk.
No, you're not. I just shut my mic off to see if it was me making a echo.
All right. Well, let me hang up. Well, you're going to have to pull Skype in then. All right. Yeah, so far, so good. As long as we can solve that, we're excellent. Something new from Ola, maybe? Yeah, let's check that one out. Uh-oh. You know what Natas is.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Will It Sharp, the video series where I try out guitar-related gear and see how quickly I can make it chug. If you have no idea what a metal chug is, it's this. And I think for today, we're probably going to break some kind of record, because today I'm trying out the new Fortin Natas distortion pedal. Do you guys remember back in the day when I was trying amplifiers for real?
Yeah, go ahead with that.
You know, maybe like... like 12 or 11 years ago, I tried out a Fortin Natas for the first time, and it was.
And you can only have one on at a time, so we'll start with.
What's up today? There is a Fortin Natas distortion pedal. So you don't have to buy the biggest ass fucking amplifier in the world. You can just buy this now.
Two of them, Neuro DSP.
We're gonna figure out if it's chugging.
Maybe three of them. Is it his biggest or a Fortin amps? And the no.
or not. I have a slight suspicion it will. And for the occasion, I brought out all my Fortin here. You know, I have my Fortin 50-watt power amplifier, which is basically like the Satan 50-watt power amplifier into a small little gray box like that.
We're going to get it together, people.
That goes into my Fortin 4x12 cabinet with vent. Is it vintage or is it K?
I don't hear anything right now.
It is vintage 30 speakers. That's what I remember. I'm using this Neumann TLM 102 microphone and also a stereo microphone over there.
There we go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Will It Sharp, the video series where I try out guitar-related gear and see how quickly I can make it chug. If you have no idea what a metal chug is, it's this. And I think for today, we're probably going to break some kind of record because today I'm trying out the new Fortin Natos distortion pedal. Do you guys remember back in the day when I was trying amplifiers for real? You know, maybe like 12 or 11 years ago, I tried out a Fortin Natos for the first time, and it was an absolutely insane and incredible amplifier that would eventually be the base for what will become my Fortin Satan amplifier and then the Randall Satan amplifier. Probably one of my favorite amplifiers from Fortin. Basically. And today there is a Fortin Natos distortion pedal, so you don't have to buy the biggest ass fucking amplifier in the world. You can just buy this now. It's small. We're gonna figure out if it's chugging or not. I have a slight suspicion it will. And for the occasion, I brought out all my Fortin gear. You know, I have my Fortin 50-watt power amplifier, which is basically like the Satan 50-watt power amplifier into a small little gray box like that that he custom made for me. That goes into my Fortin 4x12 cabinet with vent. Is it vintage or is it K? Confirmed. It is vintage 30 speakers. That's what I remember. I'm using this Neumann TLM 102 microphone and also a stereo microphone over there. That's the sound of nothing engaged, just a power amp, okay? All right, let's engage the Fortin Natos distortion. Well, chug, let's go. It chugs. However, I want to dial this thing a little bit. Okay, bass, middle. And much like the amplifier, you have the girth and the grind. They're just really small little knobs on this distortion. Basically, the girth and the grind is like pre-filters into the distortion. So basically, you can shape your type of distortion. If you want a little bit more muddier or if you want super glass tight, you can do that. So let's, for instance, turn up the grind and turn down the girth. It will become very glassy and very sharp sounding. Razor sharp, man. Not exactly my favorite tone, but if we dial up the grind, the girth, sorry. That low end will come back. Right, man. Then we have a mid shift. That sounds good. We'll be right back. chugging, okay? Like, even keeping the grind at, like, 12 o'clock and the girth around 12 o'clock, just the character, the distortion, is just so nice, you know? But it is really good to kind of dial in whatever kind of tuning you're into. So this guitar, I think, is in drop C right now. So, you know, you can back off a little bit of the girth, you know, to, you know, tame that low end a little bit. But it sounds good as it is, man. Okay, maximum gain. Let's go. With the gain dialed down, it loses a little bit of that high end. That's a little too disgusting. Sounds good. Yeah, man. I forgot a thing. There's also the kill switch, obviously, which adds another gain stage. Off. Dude, what can I say? It chugs straight out of the box. It definitely has this Fortin dryness that is just so nice. You know, it's so incredibly dry and just, mah. When you have distortion pedals like this, why would you bother even getting, like, the big amplifier heads anymore? You know, that's just, it's really hard motivating, you know, an amplifier over this, for instance. You know, I've been trying more and more to, like, use, you know, the chug pedal for clinics and whatnot, and, you know, not bringing an amplifier, making my rig very simple. But even at, like, for the haunted gig, I mean, this type of sound right here, distortion pedal into a power amp, into a cabinet, that's more than you need. So there you go. That's the Fortinatus distortion for you right there. Will it chug? It did chug. Very, very fast. Was it a record? Well, if you like this demo, maybe you can consider subscribing to my channel. Thank you so much for watching and tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, he's a pretty good dude. Good guitarist. I like the sound. It sounds as good as, you know, pretty much anything else that sounds good like that. I mean, after a while, they kind of do. There's a certain sameness, but it is good. And maybe you wouldn't want to get that because you really do like the tubes, because it ain't got no tubes. That's just, yep. 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 Yeah, well, that cabinet weighs a lot, let me tell you. It's a 412 cab. He just said 410 because it's made by Fortin, F-O-R-T-I-N. But yeah, you know, the vintage. Yeah. Especially for high gain, it won't do it for really high gain stuff. And a lot of pedals on the market that will, though. So it's not hard to find them. And you can get out the door for under 200 typically. Oh, yeah. An OCD or something? Uh-huh. Okay. Oh yeah, man, I got like four Friedman pedals, and I've got a big diesel pedal. It's supposed to emulate one of the big diesel amps. And a couple others, too. Yeah, it gets to be an obsession. You got to watch it. And you watch, go to anybody who does a lot of recording, a lot of playing, and you look at the shelves on the walls, and you'll start to see pedals just lined up. I mean, 100 of them, maybe. They don't stop getting them. They keep doing it. Hey, Wally. Maybe he walked off. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well. You do, yeah. You that's why you wind up with a shelf full of them, and you got a bunch of them in the paper for sale. Hope someone calls you. Yeah. I hope we're coming. Well, let's see what we got. Yeah, I need to get to your page. If I'm going to open here, is that page, right? Or is that just the Ola? Is that the page for your entire list right above? Let's see what we got. Deacon John. Yeah, here it is. Well, we got the Boss Metal Zone is the worst. Well, we just did a pedal, so we can wait on that. Line six, man, that's going to be pretty bad. I don't know. Is that a tube amp? Spider. Oh, God. Yeah. I hope they can hear us over the main studio. Let me check that, okay? I'm going to turn it on, and we'll be talking, and let me see if anything. I'm not hearing anything. No, I don't have it on. Wait. Yeah. I hope they can hear. Yeah. It's coming through perfect. That's good. I'm very impressed. Good job. Good work, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell, no, we don't need that. Check that 40-watt rev out. Deer? Oh, butchering it. You see that Rev D40 Dynamis? It's about four down, three, four, about five below the... The line 6-5. Cub. Yeah.
What is up, everybody? I hope you're all doing great. Today, we are checking out the new Revamps D40. This is a two-channel 40-watt amplifier. It's powered by two 6L6 tubes and, of course, 12AX7s in the preamp section. This one is a bit of a departure from the, the Rev lineup. Not that all Rev amps are strictly like modern or high gain, but this one is definitely pointed more towards the player that really wants a bit more of a vintage sound and feel. So this guy is a two-channel amplifier, as I mentioned. The clean channel is a really big, spread-out, high headroom, just beautiful-sounding clean channel. It will break up a little bit if you dial it to do so. And it also takes pedals really well, loves pedals. We'll get into that channel. The drive channel, channel two, is more of a vintage voice. So think along the lines of maybe a JTM 45 with maybe a little bit of high-powered Tweed Twin in there and some of Dan Trudeau from Rev's like Magic Dust on top of all of that. It's definitely a lower gain channel. I would consider it a medium gain channel. It is absolutely not a high gain channel. The way it was designed was you can get up to a pretty good amount of crunch or overdrive. And then if you want more, you can dime it. But if you want more, just hit it with your favorite boost pedal, overdrive pedal, whatever it is that you normally use, Klon or King of Tone, whatever suits you. And by the way, the very last solo in that performance with that Tyler guitar is this channel with my tilt boost, just clean boost into it to kind of push it over the top in saturation. And we can get into that. Maybe if I remember, I'll turn something on, a couple things on while I'm demoing this channel. So let's get into what's on the front of this amplifier. Okay, so on the top row of knobs, that's your channel one. So you've got volume, treble, mid, bass, your overall channel volume. And then next to that, you've got these two master volumes. The reason there's two master volumes, these are global, is so that you can raise or lower the overall volume of the amp without messing around with your tone stack. So if you just want your solo to jump, but you don't necessarily want to change your tone stack to do it, you can foot switchably bounce between those two masters. They sound great. So obviously a pretty straight ahead tone stack. The drive channel is the same exact tone stack. So volume, treble, mid, bass, There's your channel master. And then right next to that is your presence control. That's your global presence control. We'll get into that in the demo, as well as a depth control. We will also get into that in the demo. Now, there's buttons on the amp. These two buttons here allow you to choose between the two channels. And then you have a bright switch that can be applied to both channels programmably. We'll get into that in the demo. And there's also a boost switch. Sounds really great. Just makes the amp sound a little bit more pushed. We'll check that out in the demo. You also have a reverb switch. The reverb controls are on the back of the amplifier. It is a digital reverb. Those controls are on the back. You get a depth and level. We'll get into how that sounds in the demo. Anything I'm doing from the front of this amp, as far as hitting any switches, is all completely foot switchable via the foot switch that you can get with the amp, or MIDI. It has a MIDI in and through, so you can utilize all of the functions on the amp, as well as, and I'll mention this, I won't be demoing this, but I'll mention that this amp, there really isn't a rev amp now that doesn't have this, but this one comes with the Two Notes embedded hardware and DynIR software. It is stereo, just like on the Generator 120. It sounds amazing. I'm not going to get into that in this particular demo because I really want you guys to hear it on the mics. But that's a really great feature, obviously, for running in front of house, recording. Sounds really, really, really good. Maybe I'll do a video separately that just kind of shows that. But I've done quite a few videos that cover the Two Notes stuff. It's great. And also right there, there's your headphone out. There's your headphone volume. Obviously, this is for the six embedded cabinets that come with the amplifier. You can load your own DynIRs in there. You can have up to like 120 something. But like I said, we won't get into that for this demo, but that's what's happening on the front of the amp. On the back of the amp, as I mentioned, you have a MIDI in and a MIDI through, so you can utilize all those functions within the amp itself and the software on the amplifier. You also have, you're going to see something that looks like another MIDI in, but it's actually the foot switch. And then right next to that, you're going to see, it's going to say cab light. That's if you want to light up, if you have another rev cabinet, if you're using this with a rev cab, you can light up the badge with that. And of course, you've got five speaker outs, 2 4s, 2 8s, and a 16. So that covers all those bases. You have two switches back there. One is going to allow you to turn on the internal load, the reactive load, and run the amp direct if you wish. The switch right next to that will bump the amp from 40 watts down to, I believe, 10 watts. And that works really great. I'll say, you know, the master volume on this is really good. The 10 watt switch sounds great. If you still want the power section to break up, you can definitely utilize that. You're going to see a couple of bias ports, so you can, you know, if you change tubes, you can do your own biasing, or you know, have your tech do it. Okay, and of course, you know, the left and right XLR outs, and there's also a USB out for accessing the software on your Mac or PC for the Two Notes embedded. And then of course you have all your various fuses back there. And if I didn't mention it before, you do have your reverb. I did mention it before, but I'll say it again. You have your reverb controls on the back. So you have your depth and level controls. We'll get into all that in the demo. So without further ado, let's give this Rev Amps D40 a listen. Okay, let's get started. I've got a 1x12. It's a Rev 1x12 cabinet. It's loaded with a Celestion V30. I have that in a separate room, mic'd up with my usual combination, which is a Royer R121 ribbon mic, Shure SM57 into my my Chandler TG preamp. So let's give it a listen. Thank you. Between the two channels a little bit. The obviously the drive channel, channel two, is more of a vintage gain, so we're thinking like maybe JTM. There's a little bit of high-powered tweet in there that I can hear. That channel feels really great. The clean channel, the first channel, is just a big, beautiful, kind of spread out, clean tone, takes pedals really, really well. So let me just go through the functions. This amp's pretty straight ahead, really, but let me go through the functions on the clean channel. The same functions apply to the second channel or the crunch channel. Okay, so I'm back to the clean. What I'm going to do is shut all this stuff off. Reverb controls are on the back, the switches on the front. Everything I'm doing on this amplifier is foot switchable, just in case you're wondering. So here's just the start point. There's a bright switch and there's a boost switch. They do exactly what you think they do. So here's the bright switch. Brings more of that glass up top, right? Now, the boost switch is just making everything sound a little bit more pushed. I personally really like that just in all the time. Let's the amp break up just a little bit, but also just kind of spreads things out, and it does. It sounds a little bit more pushed. The two together, you dial to taste. I'm going to shut both of those off. Well, I'll leave the boost on. Let's just roll the controls. So the mid control is a little bit fatter mid. It's not as kind of pointed, a little bit fatter mid. The bass gets really, really big. And you can, you know, use the, obviously the depth control as well to kind of dial that in depending on what cab, guitar, all that kind of stuff, what room you in. But that's the sweep of the controls. This amp will break up a little bit more as you start pushing that front volume. it'll definitely break up if you don't want it to get, you know, we obviously jumped in volume, so we have a channel master. We can turn that down to kind of balance things out. For the most part, it's a really efficient kind of high headroom clean. It will, as I mentioned, break up if you dial it too, and it takes pedals great. So that's that channel. I can let you hear the reverb really quick. The reverb's pretty nice on it, man. It's a digital reverb, but it's kind of a, it seems like a cross between like maybe a plate and a spring. And you can adjust that on the back. There's two adjustments. If I can find, there we go. There's level, so I can shut it off. Or I can crank it all the way up. And there's also a depth or length control all the way off. All the way up. Really good sounding reverb. I'll go ahead and dial that back. Okay, so that's that channel. Let's jump to the channel two, and I'll do the same thing. We'll go ahead and start with everything off. I'll show you what the bright switch is doing in this case. So that's kind of our jumping off point. Very kind of vintage style breakup. If I want that to sound more pushed, same deal. I just can add the boost. Same thing. I really like the boost just in all the time. There are occasions when I would take that out, especially if I needed to fit into a track a little bit better, but and then the bright switch, same concept. So in that case, like say I want a little more barky top end. So I'll turn the bright switch off and just use the treble. It's kind of martially up. But say I want to, you know, maybe have that be a different type of top end. I can turn the treble down, turn the bright switch on. Now I've got a more toppy, kind of glassy top, but it's less kind of barky in the mids. So it's a really cool feature. And obviously you would do that with both channels. I kind of go back and forth. I like to have the treble pushed a little bit, but it's just because I like a little bit more of that kind of mid bark. Okay, so I'll do the same thing. Treble. Again, that's a fatter mid. It's a bass off. So very similar kind of tone stack on this channel because it is more of a vintage style channel. To me, I tend to keep the bass down like I would on like say a JTM style amp. Little dab will do you, especially as you start cranking. Both channels will do this. As you start cranking the front volumes, you will get a little bit more lows. So you just compensate as you get it dialed in with the bass. So if I dime this, more gain, but there is a little more bass there. So I can go ahead and just roll the bass back a little bit. Now, I really like this channel. I like the amount of gain that's in it. If you need more, then just hit it with like your favorite boost pedal. Like I can hit it with in it with a tilt boost, so it's a clean boost. hit it with I could hit it with an overdrive. That sounds cool. So I don't want to turn this into an overdrive demo, but you can definitely hit that channel with either your fake. It could be an RC booster, AC booster, tilt overdrive, Klon. Klon would sound killer into that. But that's the idea with that. This isn't a high gain channel. It's a crunch channel. It will, you know, if you dime it, you're going to get some gain out of it. But I would say it's going to sound the best if you leave it kind of more how I have it dialed here, in my opinion. And then just hit it with whatever your favorite boost or overdrive pedals are. And, of course, you have your channel master. Those are there to kind of help just obviously balance out between the clean and the dirty channel. Now, one thing this amp does do is it will remember. So I was on channel one. I had the boost and the reverb on, right? But when I went to channel two, reverb shuts off, boost is on. So it's a cool feature, so you're not constantly turning things on and off. It's like the amp will remember what you did. Now, the last two controls are presence and depth. So I'll just go ahead and sweep those. It's obviously global. Presence off. Presence all the way up. I like it about right there, and then depth is all the way off. Depth all the way up. So it'll get pretty pillowy and big. I like it about right there, because then I can roll my bass back into either channel and dial accordingly. But that's the global presence and depth. I'm a fan of having that on amps these days. Once again, just helps me to sculpt things in. You have two overall masters. You can see I've got this one off, but you can foot switch between these two masters so that if you just want the overall level of the amp to get higher or hotter without changing your tone stack in any way, you can foot switch between the two separate masters. Right now it's about halfway up. I would say at that volume, this being a really efficient 40 watt amplifier, you're pretty much going to be able to hang with whoever. And then if you need more, there's definitely plenty of headroom above that to you know, get above drums and what have you. This control is the sixth position for the two notes embedded DynIRs. I'm not going to demo that this time. I really just want you guys to hear this on the cabs, on the mics, and get a really good idea for how it sounds. That sounds great. I've done lots of videos for Rev on the Rev channel and actually on my channel that goes through the DynIR setup in that. So that is the Rev Amps D40, really great sounding amp. If you've got any other questions about the product, definitely go to the website and check things out. And as always, I really, really appreciate you guys watching, and we will see you next time.
I'm impressed.
Hello, kid.
I don't know where he's located, but
what's up, everyone? Welcome to Coffee with Ola.
Yeah, that's Rev's been around a while. I started to see those on Glenn Fricker's channel, and then with Trey Xavier, I think he may have a couple of them, and they real popular among metal musicians. They make these big 120 super high gain amps, not like that. That's almost more aimed at a Dirty Shirley or something, but I think the Dirty Shirley's probably got more gain than that. Actually, if I had that amp, I would keep it on clean and just use a pedal. I wasn't that impressed with the gain channel. Yeah, but it's a different kind of gain, so. Yeah. 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 that'd be your ticket. Yeah. I'm not sure. He may be. I don't really. I've watched him a bit, but then I start forgetting what amps I see. I mean, they all have a bunch of different amps, quite honestly. So, but he may be. Yeah. Drop D or drop. Yeah, right. No, you just use one finger across three strings on the bottom. You have a tonic, a fifth, and a tonic on the octave. And it's really great because when you got that set up, you can play over a minor chord, over a major chord, or you can play over any chord because all you got there is the tonic note and you got the fifth, which is the two most powerful notes of the key or the chord, whatever you want to look at. And then all the other everything else becomes extensions, including minors. Where you flat the third or keep the third normal, which is the difference between major and minor. So, yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Really? Yeah. he doesn't use the low E string. He's got... Yeah, you got the A, D, G, B, and E strings, but otherwise, no, he don't have the low E. Yeah, he's the expert. Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, he's good at it, and that's the important thing. I mean, it's almost a thing now, five string. Get you a Keith Richards special or something, or you can just take any guitar and make it a five string for that matter, but... Typically, it's a Tele design. They start with a Tele, and then you go with it from there. Yeah, I'm waiting for them to just make a five-string neck, you know? But I don't know if they've done that yet. They might have. There's a lot I don't see. All right. No. Yeah, uh-huh. I think his last name was Irwin. I think I know where he used to work, though. I even brought my guitar into him for just to check something. Yeah, Steve Irwin? I forget. But you're right. Yeah, I can't get a guitar these days. The first thing I do, this is crazy because I never used to have to deal with this. The first thing I do is I look at the nut. And then I check the distance. I check the height of the strings coming over the nut because all of a sudden these days, and I don't think it's me. I don't think it's some kind of weird obsession I've gotten. But these days, strings are riding off the nut too high. They don't need to be near as high as they're coming off the nut. And you look at an old Fender, man, I mean, talk about low. And it drives me crazy. So the first thing I do. In another sense, that shouldn't really matter. It has to do with just how where the strings are with regard to the fingerboard. And you know, first thing I do lately, I've taken nut files to a number of guitars I have, including my Paul Reed Smith. I had a luthier do that. Then I got some files myself, and I started doing it. I've done it to three guitars, including my Reverend. And I know where I like it to be. I know where I like it to sit, and it works perfect. It doesn't screw it up or anything. But damn, it feels a lot better. Yeah? So just go figure. You know, I'd like to know what's going on with that, where this tendency is coming from. And I've even heard, like, Fluff, he's made mention of that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and sometimes with a rod adjustment, you turn the rod and everything, but you still got to wait a day or so, you know, before it starts to pick up to where you want. I mean, it. I don't think. No, we're not, but we can take one if you like. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll do this.
Hey, did I hear my name a little bit earlier?
Oh yeah, we were just pouring it to you.
Well, I've been sitting here eating my chips and cheese and a little bit of garlic hummus and listening, and it's really interesting, but I thought I heard my name a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt.
You did, yeah. And I thought I heard someone sleeping.
No, it's too early for me to sleep.
No, it wasn't snoring. It was just shallow breathing, fast.
I was hearing the same thing just a little bit ago. Less than 2 minutes ago, I was, maybe 3 minutes ago, I was hearing someone breathing. I figured it was you, Pat.
No, it wasn't. I'm pretty silent.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Well, it couldn't have been me because I was muted, so.
Oh, no, it couldn't have been you then. Okay, we'll take a break. Come back in a couple minutes.
Because I was muted, so.
Oh, no, it couldn't have been you then.
Thank you.
We back. Let's see. So we got Visiting Dimebag's Guitar Vault. That might be interesting. Yuga Valla, turn a Marshall Plexi into a more modern high gain amp. they got a bunch of stuff. You stacked it up, is what you did. Huh. Yeah, let's check that out. I'm not even familiar with that. I don't know what that's about.
New song out.
Yeah, let's see. I'm impressed, Deacon. I really am. You finally got... I knew you were hot on getting it. Yeah.
Okay, you probably have heard the Beatles have a new song out now in 2023 called Now and Then. This is actually a song that's off a cassette that Yoko found in 1994 that had... three songs on it. I think it was Free as a Bird, Real Love, and This. They released Free as a Bird back in 95 on the Anthology Volume 1 record, and we thought that was the last song. What we didn't know is they actually worked on this song then, when George Harrison was still alive. They did some overdubs on it, but they couldn't really separate the vocal and piano that John had played. You know, he's playing the piano and singing at the same time. And as you hear when I'm speaking, it's hard to hear my voice while the piano's going on. Recently, Peter Jackson told them that they had the tools to actually separate this voice from the background using AI or machine learning. So they went back in and they made a really cool short film that's about 12 minutes long that's on the Beatles channel that you should definitely check out on how they did it. But one of the things they did is they talked about removing the voice and they played the soloed voice, but they really didn't show how they did it. Well, there's a number of machine learning or AI tools out there to do it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually play the piano and sing that first verse and then show you how I remove the vocal of that stereo audio. Here it is.
I know it's true.
Okay, I'm going to take that performance, I'm going to put it into this AI program called Lalal.ai and separate that piano and vocal part into two tracks. Here it is. Okay, so I'm dragging the vocal and piano together in it. And what this does is it simply analyzes the two things. It uses machine learning to extract the separate parts. And then we have this.
I know it's true. It's all because of you.
Now listen to the piano here. I'm going to play the solo of the piano. And this has the vocals over it. It's amazing. Let me switch back to the soloed vocal now.
It's all
my bad singing.
Because...
and then the piano. That's pretty amazing that it can actually separate these things, right? Separate my vocal and piano perfectly. So that's what they did with John Lennon's voice and piano. They actually took out the piano. Paul replayed the piano, he says in the documentary. And then they used George's existing parts from 1995. Paul played a slide part reminiscent of something that George would have done, and Ringo played the drums to it. Let me talk about the melody first before I actually talk about what I think about the production. Okay, so the melody is classic John Lennon. Incredible melody writer, right? So you got A minor. Unusual note to go to. He's got E minor over G, back to A minor. I just love that. Then it goes back to A minor, to F major, then on E major. Love all those interval jumps, and then a big jump down to E, and then it goes to the ninth, up to the third of A minor. So it uses these haunting tones, surprise notes, whatever you want to call them, that are so John Lennon, the interval jumps, things like that. Okay, so what do I think of it as a song? Giles Martin wrote a string arrangement reminiscent of his dad, George Martin, who produced pretty much all the Beatles records and did all those wonderful orchestral arrangements. I'm the Walrus, Day in the Life, all these things. He was a genius at this. Eleanor Rigby, of writing string parts, writing orchestral arrangements. And he put this orchestral part to this. One of my favorite parts of the song is this bridge section here. I'm going to play it. Hopefully it won't actually block the video, but... Very Lennon. And then another minor chord. And then I want you to be there for me. Beautiful. Always to return. This is so Lennon-esque. G, and then he goes to B minor. That's not weird. Then he goes to E minor. Then to A minor. Lennon is one of the only people that will use three minor chords in a row like that. Now, this is all in the same key, but it's just a beautiful move. Then it's A minor to D. It's a 2-5, A minor, D. And then it goes back to the verse. This is my honest opinion of it. I love the fact that they did this. But to me, the piano and the drums and the bass sound modern. It sounds like a John Lennon vocal from back then with kind of modern production values. When the piano first comes in, the first piano chord, it's very compressed sounding. And that compressed like a Beatles record, compressed like you'd hear a record today. And the drums are really big sounding, and the bass, it sounds like it's from two different centuries. Maybe because it is, and there's just no way around it. And would John Lennon like this? Well, in the little documentary, Sean Lennon says that he thinks his dad would have embraced this because it uses new technology. And I agree with that. Beatles were all about inventing new technology, automatic double tune, flangers, all these things. This all happened. The first feedback note before I Feel Fine, Beatles, they were unbelievable at using new technology. Do I wish it didn't come out and that I'd never heard it? No. I'm glad that it's out there, and I really enjoyed it. But maybe sometimes things are better left undone. The Beatles were one of the few groups that stopped playing at the right time and never did a reunion. This obviously is not a Beatles reunion. There's only two Beatles that are living still. This is like time travel, right? You have a vocal from the 70s, from 74 or whatever. You have George Harrison's guitar parts from 1994. And then you have Paul and Ringo from 2023. So this entire track is time travel. I really love to know your thoughts. I tell people to subscribe. The more people that subscribe to my channel, the better interviews I can get. I'd love to interview the two remaining Beatles and get their opinion on it. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment. Thanks so much for watching.
I don't have a big opinion on it. Now, yeah, I mean, I see what he's saying, and I can hear it. And, okay, yeah, I see both sides. See, that's my problem. I always see both sides clearly enough to not have a strong opinion. That's real good. I mean, it's super Beatly sounding for sure. Late Beatles, anyway.
Yeah, late Beatles.
And I like the the amount of minors they use. That's really great. Excellent. It's a cool song. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I get you. That's our antecedents. That's our provenance, man. In so many ways. Yeah. They did that movie in the last several years, and I'm wondering if these are some of the same actors they used. Because they didn't do a bad job of matching. It's just, you know, when you get someone that looks that much like John Lennon, the next thing you're going to ask is, can he act? And if he can, that's good. You've hit gold, man. The same thing for all of them. Yeah, they're getting up there, man. So that ain't Ringo we're looking at. Yeah, right. There's so much they can do with that. But they were using some actors, too. And they did. No, I'm not meaning in this. I'm talking about the movie they did. Yeah, yeah. You can get it close enough, you can kind of just forget that and go on and enjoy it. I do have to say, though, after Revolver, they kind of lost me. Because I like the old Beatles. That they were the rock Beatles, you know? I mean, it was just knocking it down, right? And then they started getting into all this weird songwriting stuff, and things started to get, I don't know, it was different. And, yeah.
I think that involved drugs, too, didn't it?
Yeah, LSD and all that. I know, because I remember I'd be tripping. And I'd be thinking, man, now I see it all so clearly. And God, I can use it. Yeah, right. Bullshit. Where do you calm down? Now, what were you doing? Dreaming? No, I don't think.
Through this, what you paid, Deacon, I was watching for the transition from Paul to Fall. You know, I don't know if that's true. I kind of believe it is, but, you know.
It's hard to say, Wally. You know, it might be. Yeah. It may well be. I just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They wanted that, you know, that was the whole deal. Let's make the audience look real strange, too. And act real strange, I mean. You like it? Yeah, yeah. Ain't no one kept the beat better. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I like about Ringo is he kept the beat and stayed in the pocket, and that was it. You know, he wasn't showing off, and that's the problem with too many drummers. They're more interested in showing off than they are in just. Yeah. Overplay. It's hard not to do on any on guitar, on bass, whatever. It takes discipline and it takes some understanding, some discernment of what's really going on. Oh, let's see what we got. That was very interesting, though. That was a nice little.
I've always liked the Beatles. I you know, once they came to the newer music, it was all right. But it was the first music, the Beatles, Hey Jude. I mean, all these Yellow Submarine. I mean, I was impressed with that. Yeah, it was just. You know, each band. Well, each band has their own, you know, signature, and you know you could just tell drugs played a big role in their music change. You know, John being way out there, George. You know, it all. I mean, that was the times. I remember growing up in those times.
Yeah, it's just like the drugs. They put you under a microscope and something gets magnified in a weird way, it seems. Yeah.
Deacon, there's some truth to that. I mean, you look to see when you could tell when the bands that were really good that we liked, you know, as we're growing up, and then all of a sudden they changed. Well, they quit doing drugs. Yeah, because it just took too much of a toll on them. Their music changed. I mean, you could tell when the heroin stopped.
I'm so depressed now. God, my music sucks.
You know, then heroin comes back and there's people like Eminem.
Yeah.
You know, it just, the music, the drugs.
Ice pick while you're at it. Give me a lobotomy.
Now, wasn't it Boston that was a one-man band? He just hired members when he had to go on stage?
Deacon's the expert. That's kind of true, but they would get on stage with the whole band. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, oops.
Shit, what do you do now?
Oops. Maybe that's why they weren't so long lived. But they yeah. Well, I remember. 1977, 76 maybe, but 77. Yeah.
Yeah, it just.
The nukes, nooks, no, I saw that. I don't even know what it is. Maybe we should give it.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Pedal Frenzy, the video series where I try out different guitar pedals. Today I'm trying out the Nux Trident guitar process. It's been some time since I last tried a Nux product. This is their new multi-effects processor, or like a, let's just say it's their Axe Effects for simplicity.
Yeah,
but in a
pretty
small format.
No, that's how I just said, that's what it looks like. Another one of those after what, Fender's left? Oh, yeah.
Like this. And just as like you would expect from processors like this, it features a buttload of different amplifiers. It has 27 different amplifiers, a bunch of different cabinets. It's on its own, also a USB audio interface if you need that. You have a bunch of different effects. It's fully programmable. It has a looper in it, MIDI in and out, FX loop, send and return, so you can use other pedals with it. And basically all of that in this small little format right there. And I must say, it's a good format. You know, but nowadays with quad cortexes and shit like that, you get somewhat of a bigger display. This display is fairly small, but in reality, you don't really need much more, I guess. You can also edit all of this through a computer editor, so you don't have to sit and tweak everything with the knobs. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to try out a couple of different presets and then maybe tweak a slight bit. I'm using this Solar AB1.6FRQBR guitar. It has Fishman's Fluence pickups in them, and that's connected straight into the Nux guitar processor into my audio interface. And it sounds like this. I'm currently on a Pete SLO preset. I think it's actually Pete Thorne made a couple of presets for this thing. So let me see if I can start from the top. So, yeah, CT Leap. And I have it connected into stereo right now. At least I think so. It is stereo. Oh, holy shit. All right. And as you can see, very simple. You can turn on and off the different sections of whatever you want to turn off. Delay, reverb, mod, effect. Whatever effects you want. So if you want to quickly use an effect or add something to your preset, you can start by going here and you can change all of this. It's small switches. So like if you want a chorus, you turn up. Tremolo, for instance. Yeah, it's pretty... pretty straightforward. And you know, I think they're keeping this like a stomp box mode right here, where it should be a little easier for you when you're playing live to just go and dial something real quick without having to, you know, twist these knobs and go into parameters. You can just change some of the effects here on the board itself. And right here you have the amplifier section. You have gain, level, bass, middle, treble, presses, basically. Pretty straightforward. I wonder, depending on your situation, you can go in and select output mode. Either go amp in front, amp rear, which is the effects loop, or you can do, as I do, studio direct. Basically, if you use the other modes, it will shut off the cabinet section of all the presets. Let's continue. Oh, save. Well, whatever it saved something. That's pretty cool. What is that? The Fireman. I think the Fireman is like a Friedman amplifier. Here we go, dual rectifier. You have a boost. Turn on the delay. Okay, level. I I wonder if it was a tap delay. It is. Okay, so this is a tap tempo if you wanted to. Okay, that's cool. I want to find something that's truly, truly metal. Diesel rhythm. Gent. Okay, okay, we're getting a little closer. Almost the gent, man. The gent is always the best. I think it's because the gent players, they know how to dial in a good tone. Very nice. Okay, cool. Still trying to find that super metal tone. Maybe I have to make one myself. Let's go from here. See if we can dial something in. This is the diesel. Okay, let me try to see if I can change some parameters right here. All right, let's see. Page 1 and 2, microphone. So I'm switching different microphone on this particular cabinet. Okay, let's switch the cabinet. Can we do that? That sounds pretty cool. Oh, it's okay. It's changing the cabinet as I'm changing the amp. Okay. It is a slight bit confusing with how I work these knobs. Not used to it. Okay, I think this is cool. Not too bad. Okay, let's see if we can move in some low 100 hertz. That's cool, but I wish this EQ had lower than 100 hertz on it, to be honest. You know, 100, it's a pretty powerful boost in the, you know, in a chug on a guitar. So I'd rather have something that boosts a little bit more below so it doesn't, you know, take over as much. But okay, cool. I've noticed something. I've connected the Nux Trident into my audio interface in a manner which would give it like a stereo field, okay? But as I'm playing, I'm noticing the effects are not in stereo. And I understand if you're using an amplifier, you know, usually you're not using a stereo amplifier unless you're like really anal and you use, you know, maybe one of this and then two combo amplifiers or something like that. And in an environment where you connect this into your amplifier, and in front of an amplifier especially, you don't really need it to be stereo. However, if I'm connecting it like this into an audio interface to play, I would want it to be in stereo, at least the delays and all that. Now everything's centered. That's a very big oversight, in my opinion. I mean, at this point we're at right now with modelers, all of them sound, you know, okay and good. It's more about every other feature that makes it a modeler or, you know, a guitar processor that would suit a specific guitar player, for instance. So in this case, like, that it doesn't have the stereo delay or like a stereo reverb, that's weird, in my opinion. But there's nothing wrong with the sound. It sounds okay. That's nice and all, but it would be nicer if the effects were in stereo. And as you take a look at the backside, it actually doesn't say right or left. It just says output 1 and output 2 on both the XLR outputs and on the quarter-inch outputs. So not sure what they were thinking with that. So there you go. That's my little quick demo of the Nux Trident guitar processor. Given its size and also given its price, I think it's $450 or something like that. I guess it's an okay unit. The problem today is that there's so many other units like this out there. Just the part about it not having stereo effects is, I mean, it's 2023, man. It needs to be in stereo, at least if it's going to compete with the other modelers out there. However, if you're running into a mono amplifier and that's your setup right there, I mean, I guess it's perfectly all right that you, and you don't need stereo. So there you go. That's my little demo for you right there. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Yeah, I was taking a look. Sweetwater doesn't sell it. And so I looked them up and I checked the distributors, and you can get it at like Musician's Friend, the Guitar Center, or something like that. Only $449. Yeah, that's not too bad, but Ola has a point about, you know, no stereo effects. That so it's okay. Right. Yeah, in-ears are such a weird thing, because when I went and jammed with my friends in Lafayette a couple years ago, they used the in-ears, and so he had some spare ones, and I put them in, and it's interesting, but the thing is, you got to be ready to spend some bucks and go to an audiologist and get them fitted. You got to get them fitted for you. I mean, yeah, you get a good set for about $300-$400, and they come with a bunch of different inputs for your ears, you know, so you can see what's most comfortable for you. But it's not the same thing as getting them fitted, like getting fitted for hearing aids. That's what they do, and it works perfect. So Eddie had some that he had fitted, and it makes a difference. But I don't know. I mean, that's. Yeah, you can play like that, and it can be very good, I guess. I'm too old school. I like, you know, amps behind me, and I like to hear them. It may not be good for my hearing, but.
Today on the channel, we're going to take a look at my vintage Rockman equipment. Hey everybody, welcome back to the channel. Today we're going to take a look at my vintage Rockman equipment. This stuff is from the 80s, and Tom Schultz, who designed this, was also the mastermind behind the band Boston. This is fantastic equipment. You heard it on Boston's Third Stage album and every album since. And famous bands like Def Leppard use the Rockman to record Hysteria and also Adrenalize. A lot of bands use the Rockman. I'm going to run this through Pro Tools today, and I'm going to show you how this sounds. I've got my Rockman, and I've got a Stereo Echo. These are the two Rockman devices that I currently own. It was kind of tricky to get this thing all ran together, because there's not an output for this other than a headphone out, so I had to dig through all my cables. Thank God for Radio Shack. I mean, does anybody miss Radio Shack? Back in the days when you could go to Radio Shack and get cables, you could just get anything, and I've held on to all my cables. And here's my assortment of stuff I've been digging through trying to find the right cables to connect this, but I finally got it. It's a little noisy, but I got it. I'm running into this Focusrite, just a two-channel Focusrite, into my Pro Tools. There's my ring light, looks like a UFO on my screen. So for those of you that want to see what my studio looks like, I've got Kramer staring at me here as I work. But anyway, back to this Rockman. This Rockman, let's take a look at the other side. I'm going to set this up so it's stable and the camera will focus on it. So let me set this up so we can look at it closer. Okay, so I've got the Rockman plugged into the Echo, because you want the effect, you want the distortion and all that stuff first, and you want your echoes last. So I've got both units on. I love how these things blink. It looks like NORAD or some kind of Cold War era NASA stuff. The blue and the black is cool too. But as we get closer to this Rockman, this is my stereo cable that I've got running out that goes to the back of my Echo unit, because it plugs in stereo back there. So I needed a cable that would convert over to quarter inch. So I got this RCA stereo cable. It's running quarter inch adapters to RCA into the back of the Echo unit. Because the Echo unit is just standard, quarter inch instrument cable inputs. This thing has seen better days. This headphone input doesn't work the greatest. It's been used a million times, so it's kind of wiggly. So this one works pretty good. And the guitar keyboard input is the only input that works on this thing. This one is kind of not working. And as you can see, there's a volume setting, the on-off switch, and you've got echo off and chorus off. Tom Scholz only had one echo and one chorus setting on this because he figured that was the ideal setting for what he was recording with, and that's what you got. It's very nice. And then you've got your clean one and two sounds. You've got edge, and then you've got distortion. We'll test those out as well. This is a really interesting setup here on this Echo unit. If you look over here on this panel right here, you can set the signal left and right, the levels that you want the Echo to transmit. But if you see on that black panel, I've got it set in the middle. So when you record with it, you can have your main signal far over to one side and the Echo on the other, or balanced out even, where your main goes right and left and the Echo goes right and left, or you can just have your main sound right in the center and your Echo in stereo. And then in that middle panel there, you've got your feedback and you've got your echo time. And it goes up to like 500 milliseconds.
And then you have a sec.
Input gain and clipping. All right, here's the front panel view again. Going to get to playing this thing now. I'm just going to run this through my, this is my homemade Les Paul custom that many of you seen me I've made on the channel, but this thing sounds great, and I'm just going to show you, homemade guitar, and we're going to run the Rockman into Pro Tools. It might get a little scratchy from time to time, because remember, this stuff is over 40 years old. It's going on 40, close to it, so it's got a little bit of grit in the controls, so with a little bit of luck, we'll get a really nice demo out of this, and hopefully you'll enjoy it, so let's check it out. All right, everybody, this is the best I could do for now. I've got the Rockman stacked up on this little box. I've got it taped down with blue painter's tape to keep the blue theme going on with the Rockman color scheme. But I wanted to be able to show the settings on the Rockman and the delay. So right now I've got it set on clean two. And I've got the chorus and the echo engaged, okay, when we're on full volume. So keep in mind, I'm not running anything through Pro Tools other than the stereo delay and the Rockman on clean two. I've got the level on the delay set at about 10 here. Negative 10, I guess that would be. And I've got the delay setting in the middle where we've got the echo and the main signal going stereo, okay? We've got the milliseconds up here, and the feedback set at about 38%, okay? So with headphones on, it might sound the best. So let's check it out. I'm going to give you the bridge pickup on this Les Paul. I'm going to go in the neck pickup. totally sounds like Amanda. Clean two. Check that out.
Not bad. I'm impressed with the homemade guitar he's got. Hello. Yeah, I see you, Wally. It's just deepening. There you go. It sounds good. I mean, I'm more impressed with his guitar, though, than I am with the rock. Yeah, I'd like, who is this? Yeah. Yeah. That's new to me. I'd like to see more about him building that guitar. That's why I'm asking. Nice looking. He did a good job with whatever he's doing. It's like he even put. Oh man, I love violet guitars. Purple and violet guitar. God, I love them. It's the nicest color. Yeah, because we're.
You're talking about this video room, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. That's why, am I really into music as much as you guys are with this? Not really, but it's just kind of unique to listen to some of the different things that are out there. Plus, it's playing around with this video room. That's cool. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Steven. Yeah, we'll see you all later. Bye-bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Trip with Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the crypt.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution.